the coming weeks, Philadelphia lawmakers will introduce legislation meant to protect a vulnerable segment of the city's gig economy, domestic workers, including nannies, caretakers, and house cleaners. The bill has strong ties to local activism, but it's rooted in a national movement. WHYY's Aaron Moselle reports the measure is just the latest example of city council working and looking outside Philly for ways to help residents in poverty.
Philly may soon be the biggest city in the country with a so-called domestic worker bill of rights. House cleaner Rufina Rodriguez would be thrilled if that happened.
Because this would change everything for us. If we had protections, we wouldn't be abused anymore. We would actually have benefits.
Rodriguez is part of the Pennsylvania Domestic Workers Alliance, the group pushing city council to pass the law. The organization wants its members to have written contracts with employers, paid time off, and protection against retaliation, especially if it has to do with their immigration status. Rodriguez, who is from Mexico, says she doesn't always get her full fee, $50 to $80, depending on the size of the house. She also says clients cancel last minute.
In our job, we don't have a break of 10 or 15 minutes for lunch. We don't have a break to drink water.
A bill could be introduced in city council by the end of the month. If it passes, Philly could have three new laws on the books with ties to national political movements meant to help low-income residents, all in less than a year.
The ayes are 14, the nays are 3. A majority of all members have voted. The affirmative bill passes.
In late December, after a lopsided vote in city council, Mayor Jim Kenney signed Fair Workweek legislation. The measure forces certain companies, mostly corporations, to give fast food and retail workers more predictable schedules.
The ayes are 12, the nays are 4. Majority of members present voting in affirmative. The bill passes.
A couple months later, Philly became the first big city in the country to ban so-called cashless businesses, brick-and-mortar shops and restaurants where customers can't pay with cash. The law was introduced to stop businesses from discriminating against the roughly 200,000 Philadelphians who don't have bank accounts. City Council President Daryl Clark thinks there are two reasons why Philly is taking up these progressive causes. The first is there's political appetite for them.
We probably have the most progressive council that I've ever served in.
His other explanation is about frustration.
In all honesty, I get sick and tired from a personal perspective of us continuing to be referred to as the number one city, the big city, as it relates to people below the poverty line. And at some point, you have to do something about it and stop talking about it, right? And do something in a meaningful way.
For at least the last decade, Philly has been known as the poorest big city in the country. Roughly a quarter of the city's population, nearly 400,000 people, live below the poverty line. Otis Bullock leads Diversified Community Services, a social service agency in South Philly. He says city council is pushing for these political solutions because there's no comprehensive plan for tackling the city's stubborn poverty rate.
There's nothing coming out of the administration to answer that. So I really do think that council decided to stop waiting on the administration to come up with a plan and to do some things themselves.
The administration says its anti-poverty agenda isn't condensed into a single plan, but baked into a variety of initiatives tied to housing, education, workforce development, and transportation. Mari Porter leads the mayor's policy team.
It isn't simple. It's complex. It's decades in the making. It's a reflection of deep structural racism. And, you know, if one plan could do it all, we would be writing that right, you know. But it's throughout the administration. It's throughout multiple different agencies.
Philly's leading business group sits somewhere in between Porter and Bullock. Rod Wunderling is the president of the Chamber of Commerce for Greater Philadelphia. He says measures like Fair Work Week and the Domestic Worker Bill of Rights don't tackle the city's high poverty rate in a meaningful way.
It's easy to get caught up in a national campaign to perhaps make an attempt to solve for poverty. The real hard work is neighborhood by neighborhood creating, if you will, the legislative and policy headroom to create jobs for Philadelphians where they live.
For example, by making the city's business tax more friendly for new entrepreneurs to set up shop. Whether the best solutions come out of city council, the mayor's office, or both, city councilwoman Helen Gimm says Philly's poverty fight has to start here, even if it means looking at what cities like Seattle and San Francisco are doing first.
We're not seeing energy or movement to lift up wages and to address the crippling effects of income inequality from Congress and from our state legislators. So if it's not happening there, then it's going to happen in our municipalities first, and perhaps it's going to happen even more powerfully than we would see at the state and national level.
Possibly faster, too. If recent history is any guide, Philly's Domestic Worker Bill of Rights could become law before City Council's last legislative session in June. Aaron Moselle, WHYY News.